out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
To the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Thursday, the 17th of January, 2019, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioarian.com. And we are live today because we have Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson with us. Matt, how are you doing today?
You know, sometimes before the show, I have to listen to things like a list of Al Bundy insults from Married with Children just to make the world tolerable. So I'm doing okay. I more or less.
Well, I've been looking through the news reports today, and none of them are particularly pleasing. Some of them are really twisted and sick, actually. And I'm quite glad we're not actually going to be covering them today. What we are going to be talking about is Steve King, the House Representative for Iowa, who is in all the news over there at the moment in America for making some truthful comments that have been attacked not only by the mainstream media, but also by Congress. And they've actually passed a resolution condemning white nationalism because of the comments that this guy has made. The House overwhelmingly passed a resolution on Tuesday condemning white nationalism and white supremacy in the wake of public remarks by Representative Steve King questioning why the terms are considered offensive. The resolution, approved in a 424-1 vote, doesn't directly rebuke King. Instead, the text states that the House once again rejects white nationalism and white supremacy as hateful expressions of intolerance that are contradictory to the values that define the people of the United States. Now, there is so much we could get into in this, but first off, Matt, tell me a bit, tell the listeners as well. Tell us a little bit about Steve King. What do you know about him?
Steve King is the closest thing to in Congress that we have to an ally. He represents Iowa, district in Iowa. He's, I think, in his sixth term. He's won, you know, handily, usually by 60%, except this last election. Because of the pressure on him, he won just, 50.2% of the vote. The Democrats and Republicans are lining up to fight him. You know that they're going to get a mountain of money. The only thing really I disagree with King on is his support of the wars overseas. He's against pulling out. He's against cutting funding. He's, and I have the feeling that's really because, given his district, there's a lot of that type of Republican out there. But otherwise, the man is rock solid. We have so few people. And the fact is that everything this man is saying, he's backtracking slightly. The New York Times piece was taken out of context because the context was that he stated that he believes in legal immigration. I don't believe even in legal immigration, except in very specific cases. It was spun to be just this purely white concept, but it wasn't. He was defending legal immigration. So he's backtracked slightly on a few things, but, essentially they're condemning, Iowa voters in that district for electing him. And the punishment seems to be, I wonder about the legality of this. Of giving him no committee assignments. Now, I didn't think they had the freedom to do that. I mean, they're simply saying that, the Iowa voters are idiots and, don't elect this guy again because he can't represent you in any way. This is real. This is serious election interference because if he's not on any committees, he really can't do work for his constituencies in any meaningful way. So they're handing his, so this is a very serious, and I don't think this is legal because they're interfering in an election, and that's a deadly felony in this country. The Democrats obviously are predictable here. They're saying, but the fact that these Republicans, who are very much beholden to Jewish donors, are condemning him in no uncertain terms, using the exact same language. And I have the feeling, I don't know this for a fact, but I bet you the letters that Steve King is getting, are probably all in favor, overwhelmingly in favor. You know, for a politician, you have two audiences to pitch to. The first is the people of the district or the state. And the second is the very powerful, overwhelmingly Jewish donors and elite donors. And so Steve King is approaching his own constituency, which is what elects Republicans, conservative ones anyway. And, but these Republicans, including Ted Cruz and Mitch McConnell, these other guys are, speaking to their donor class. And so there's always this, and you know, the anti-federalists have predicted this problem in the 1780s, that there's going to be these two classes of people that any politician is going to have to appeal to. The Republicans just lost 40 seats, at least 40 seats in Congress. And they're shoring up their donor base, by condemning King, but by denying him committee seats, they're, essentially forcing, him to step down because he cannot do constituent service unless he's on a committee. Therefore, they're interfering in his re-election in 2 years, and that is not legal. So, but that's yet to be decided.
That's a really good point. That you know, the guy's been elected, and by banning him from taking part in any committees, then Iowa hasn't got any representation. But I guess they would say, well, this is Steve King's own fault for being a white supremacist, and he's not a white supremacist at all. What he was saying is. When did it happen that people, just anybody on the right, was suddenly accused of being a white nationalist or a white supremacist or a fascist or a Nazi? That's what he was making a point about. And then he was saying, when did Western civilization become one of these terms? And he's got a really good point here. I mean, white supremacy originally, it meant the supremacy of the rule of law, the supremacy of civilization. It was a fear that there was, and a quite rightly held fear in the 30s and the 40s, that with the threat of immigration, white people would lose their supremacy. And once they lost their supremacy, there would no longer be the rule of law. There would no longer be civilization. There would no longer be charity. There would be the sort of situation that we now see in these multicultural centers. It wasn't talking about ruling over the other races. It was something that the other races themselves wanted to see. They wanted to see law and order in their cities. They wanted to see law and order in India. They wanted to see law and order in Africa. And in order to have that, they had to have white supremacy. It wasn't about ruling over other people. So, you know, there's quite a few points in what he is saying that has been misconstrued. Continuing with the article, King, who has a long history of courting controversy on race, has maintained that his comments to the New York Times were taken out of context. White nationalist, white supremacist, Western civilization, how did that language become offensive? Why did I sit in classes teaching me about the merits of our history and our civilization? King said in the interview published last week. What they've done there is they've cut a sentence in half, basically. The first half was talking about white nationalists, white supremacists, and the second bit was talking about Western civilization, which of course he has been taught about in his history lessons. And Western civilization itself is now becoming one of these new swear words. I noticed that there was a report comparing things that Steve King has said to things that Donald Trump has said, and they're linking the fact that both of them talk about Western civilization. How long do you think it's going to be, Matt, before Western civilization itself is, well, it already is, isn't it? It's already looked upon as being racist. And that will become an insult. You insult somebody by saying they're part of Western civilization. It's almost like that now, isn't it?
Well, that's already. I mean, I've had that said to me in grad school and in college. That's the whole point of knocking down the requirements in elite universities of having to take courses on Western civilization. Those that remain are very negative. Of course, Steve King is an older man. It was a different story back then. But Western civilization, of course, I mean, I don't like the term because it's very vague. You know, it's everything from Plato to Isaac Newton to Friedrich Nietzsche. Not a lot of common ground there. But at the very least, you're talking about an elite group of white people. There's no question about that. And my problem with King right now, and you know, I want to make a point here. Our people, we have no institution. We have no functioning bodies that can give support to someone like Trump or King. So as individuals, we need to write his detractors. We need to write King himself and giving him encouragement and advice and whatever. He's in trouble right now. His life is in danger. His career is in danger. If he loses his seat, you know, who's going to hire him? Again, if he opens a business, who's going to, you know, he's in a lot of trouble right now. So we have to use what meager resources we have to assist him and not just wring our hands. I think that's Donald Trump's biggest problem is that while some of our people help elect him and defend him, we have no institutions. We have no real activist bodies worthy of the name. And so we're essentially scattered individuals, scattered personalities. But at least as individuals, we can do what we can to right his detractors and tell him to back off. My only problem with King right now is he keeps making this weak, freedom of speech argument. I hate that. You don't tell our detractors, you know, you can't shut us up because we have this abstract freedom of speech. We tell our detractors, you can't shut us up because we're correct. Everything that King has said has been factually correct. And that's what's caused this panic. That's what's caused this attack. The resolution 41 from the House itself quotes the FBI and actually the definitions of white supremacists and white nationalists. They do, distinguish those terms. The definitions aren't so bad, actually. The article you quoted did make an error. It does mention, King, at least the House version mentions King in the very first sentence. And therefore, this is most certainly about him. But there's nothing, you know, the definition of this condemnation for white nationalism, it states, and if you don't mind, let me quote this here. The domestic white nationalist movement seeks to promote, honor, and defend the white race. They believe the white race is under attack from Jewish interests that dominate the government, referred to as the Zionist occupied government, media, banking, and entertainment industries, and act to the detriment of the white race. That specific comment, which happens to be true and easily defensible and well stated, is what's condemned in this thing. So they're making factual statements here. And that's my advice to King would be say, tell me what is incorrect about this. I'll give you all the names. I'll give you all the policies. And you tell me that if I'm making all this up or not. So that's my only problem with King right now. But you really can't blame him because he's probably not sleeping very well at night. He knows he's in trouble. He knows this isn't going to go away anytime soon. And anyone associated with him is now under attack. And we all know their lives are in danger. They could plant drugs in his trunk. You know, he needs to worry. And we need to do what we can to protect him, as meager as that might be.
Well, he seems to be doing what he can to protect himself by sort of backpedaling. And he's been very forthright about the fact that he voted for this amendment as well, this resolution, rather. He voted for this himself. King voted in favor of the resolution, saying, "I agree with the language in it." A growing number of Republicans are calling for King to resign, including Senator Mitt Romney, Representative Chris Stewart, and House GOP Conference Chairwoman Liz Cheney. Cheney said at a press conference earlier on Tuesday that, "I think he should find another line of work," echoing a statement from Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell a day earlier. The third-ranking House Republican went further than House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, who said it's up to King's constituents to keep him in the House. Well, this is it. His constituents have actually voted him in, and this is all being taken out of context. I mean, he has signed this resolution and said, "I agree with this resolution," although he shouldn't have done, as you said, Matt, because it's quite reasonable what it says there about what a white nationalist is, somebody who honors their race, protects their race. I mean, what's wrong with doing that? But he has gone along with them. He's gone along with the resolution, and they're still saying that he should be kicked out. Have they done this to him before? I believe the person that actually called for this resolution, you know, they've been going after him for quite a while now. Would I be correct in thinking that? Some black man from Congress or something?
That's the original sponsor of the House version. Now, I'm looking at the actual public law, the joint resolution from both houses, from the 115th Congress. It took mention of King out of it. It's much longer and much more detailed. I think, and actually, you know, the first sentence concerns Charlottesville. So they've rewritten this for the joint resolution. What I quoted before was from the House resolution, which was the first introduced by whatever his name was. I can't remember. He's so insignificant to me. But, you know, we have 3-4 paragraphs of the joint resolution talking about Heather Heyer and Charlottesville. Then they list a series of alleged hate crimes. My God, the first 6 or 7 paragraphs are on Charlottesville. This whole thing is really about Charlottesville. And somehow they actually blame in this, and it's actually September 14th, 2017. This has been around for a while. It even says that somehow we caused the deaths of those 2 state troopers in the helicopter. So this is a very different – what was eventually adopted was a very different version from what I just read to you. It does not include those definitions. It's reasonable. It's probably because they're reasonable. And talks about the fact that anyone who supports us essentially kills Heather Heyer again and again and again. This entire thing, as I'm reading it now, Public Law 11558, the joint resolution that was voted on. Now, King could defend himself by simply saying, well, yeah, I don't want those people to be dead. I don't like the idea that these people have been killed. Therefore, I voted for the thing. Now, so what he voted on did not mention him. So the original version does, this one does not. Now my problem with this whole thing is because this is now public law, it's just, it's non-binding. I mean, it's just a comment, which really goes against the whole purpose. You know, the American system of government doesn't really back any conception of what's good or bad. So this is very non-traditional. You know, this is enshrining an ideology as an official ideology, which is very dangerous. But this might be used in the future to ban our organizations outright. And they could claim, well, Congress has already passed this resolution saying that this is horrible and dangerous. Therefore, any free speech protection or anything like that, assembly can't be used to cover it. So the more I'm reading this stuff, the more I'm worried that this can be the foundation of an outright ban. And more and more false flags, whatever they end up doing, nutty people on our side, whatever happens, they're going to continue to use this to ban our groups entirely. But the actual thing that he voted on is almost entirely on Charlottesville.
Well, I was just thinking there, if there's been more than one of these, it seems to me they keep pushing the government to make a resolution on this, make an announcement on this, that you condemn white nationalism. And then in years to come, they'll look back and they'll say, look, this government of Donald Trump's, they were forced to acknowledge that they were white nationalists and white supremacists, and they kept having to condemn it because they were a white supremacist government. Do you see what I mean? And then people will look back and say, well, there must have been these activities that were going on, and there really aren't these activities going on. You've got this one guy, this Steve King, who has basically asked how everything has moved so far to the left without people noticing. That people can get called these names when they're really just centrists. The vote came a day after House GOP leaders announced they would not assign King to any committees for the new Congress. King had served on the Judiciary, Agriculture and Small Business Committees. He had even served as a chairman of a Judiciary Subcommittee on the Constitution and Civil Justice and could have served as its ranking member under the Democratic majority. King has denied that he supports white nationalism or supremacy. Leader McCarthy's decision to remove me from committees is a political decision that ignores the truth, he said in a statement on Monday. Has he said anything at all about this actually being illegal, or how can they just remove him from all these committees when he's
not yet? I've tried to find everything I can. My advice to King would be to take this to court, saying I've been elected because of the decision of the party. He would have to sue the Republican National Committee or the Congressional Caucus. He needs to sue them and say, you know, I can't function as a congressman as my constituents want me if they take these purely political I don't think they can do this unless you're talking about serious, financial corruption or some crime that would cause him to get into trouble. From a purely ideological point of view, I think he may have a case against the GOP.
This is the thing, isn't it? I mean, he hasn't committed a crime. He hasn't been accused of fraud or corruption or anything like that. He's just said something to a newspaper that some of them don't like. And yet they seem to think that they can just remove him from all these committees. Surely there must be some kind of procedure for removing people from these committees. You can't just say, right, we're going to remove him and then do it. He really should look into that, as you're saying, Matt. GOP leaders previously haven't punished King for making controversial remarks. King, in 2013, said in an interview with Newsmax that for every undocumented immigrant who becomes a valedictorian, there's another 100 out there who weigh 130 pounds and they've got calves the size of cantaloupes because they're hauling 75 pounds of marijuana across the desert. Then-Speaker John Boehner from Ohio called King's comments deeply offensive and wrong. Well, they don't sound wrong to me, and I did a bit of fact-checking here, Matt, and this comes from drugabuse.com. It's the main site with all the statistics for the drugs figures on it, and it says data on drug seizures at the US border indicate an alarming volume of trafficking taking place in recent years. Since 2009, heroin seizures at the southwestern border have almost tripled, while meth seizures quintupled through 2014. Worse yet, cocaine and marijuana remain two of the most commonly seized drugs along our southern borders, equating to millions of pounds seized by the US Border Patrol. And the exact figures are, for marijuana at the southern border, 1,536,499 pounds. And if you look at the complete nationwide total, that it's 1,538,307 pounds. So the vast majority, about 99% of all the marijuana that's coming into America, is coming in through that southern border, which is exactly what he was saying, that every other one that's coming in has got to be bringing marijuana in. And I would say this also backs up Donald Trump, who is saying the majority of the drugs are coming in through the southern border. And if I'm not wrong, one of the arguments that have been made against him is that apparently it's not coming in through the southern border. It's coming in from somewhere else. Well, this just proves it. I mean, that's 99% of all the marijuana. That's where it's coming from. So he's been quite honest. Why didn't any of the mainstream media fact check his comments? Because it doesn't matter if his comments are right or wrong. If they don't like what he's saying, they're going to get all emotional about it, aren't they? And call it hate speech.
You know, the problem with any kind of court case, the real disturbing thing is that there is no legal ground for Congress or the president to create an official ideology that the U.S. stands for and then a list of ideological propositions. That goes against, constitutionalism from the very beginning. The whole point, as Madison says, is to have these communities and that function, hopefully peacefully, and the government is meant to keep the peace among them. This is saying that the United States government is an ideological institution that will, I suppose, and it calls on the president to investigate what small groups remain and to make sure, quote unquote, that no violence happens in the future. So that's really, now because this is a resolution, it has no teeth to it. Maybe a court case wouldn't be the right way, but it might be the foundation of a law that might actually command the president to do something about this. Now he would, what I would love for King to do and those who support him in the House is to have a identical resolution passed concerning Antifa and Antifa violence and leftist violence, using the exact same language, talking about the people that they've killed and hurt over the last few decades, which are, of course, legion, and see what the rest of the House members do. But as far as a legal point of view is concerned, I think he has an excellent case as far as the committee assignments are concerned. The Republican Party, this would have been the case prior to the 1970s, but after Watergate, House rules were completely rewritten that stripped committee chairs and leaders of precisely this kind of power. I really think they're in the wrong here, and they're kind of assuming that King doesn't have the courage and that no one's really going to come to his defense because everyone's scared. But post-Watergate congressional rules forbid this kind of thing. Now, I might be off on that, but at least the spirit of these rules certainly forbids this. So there's two huge issues here. The first is the establishment of official ideology. And this is very new. And the second thing is the legality of stripping him of committee assignments based on the fact that he hurts the feelings of illegal immigrants somewhere. You know, this is the issue. And I would love, third of all, to have an Antifa resolution here and see how that's handled.
Well, they're basically using the force of law to say whether something is correct, but based on political correctness. Because even though what he is saying is accurate, truthful, verifiable, it's not politically correct. So what they're saying is, it's wrong. This is what the direct quotes are saying. It's wrong what he's saying. It's the same as with Dr. Watson, who recently reaffirmed his belief, well, based on facts, that Africans have lower IQs than white people. And again, he was told that he was wrong. This was absolutely terrible. His Nobel Prize was stripped from him. He can't work in his lab anymore. Yet everything that he said was verifiable and true. And what they're doing here is they're going one step further and making this resolution on this, basically condemning anything that honors white people. So when Steve King speaks here about the verifiable fact that non-whites are bringing drugs in across the border, that's wrong. And then they've got that resolution to back that up. They can say that's wrong because it's white nationalism. Therefore, you're not allowed to say it. He created another firestorm when he said that we can't rebuild our civilization with somebody else's babies while tweeting in support of an anti-Muslim nationalist Dutch politician. That must be Geert Wilders. Then Speaker Paul Ryan told Fox News at the time that I disagree with that statement. But no action was taken against King, who claimed to the Hill, following pushback from a handful of fellow GOP lawmakers, that my colleagues have generally been coming by and patting me on the back. Well, that's very good to hear, if that's truthful, that they were patting him on the back for saying that. But again, I did a fact check on this, and this comes from the Daily Telegraph. Remember, this what Steve King is saying is that you cannot rebuild our civilization with somebody else's babies. And I thought, well, where has that been tried? South Africa. South Africa handed the civilization over to somebody else's babies. And what's happened? Today, South Africa's economy is stagnant, with growth running at an annual rate of just 1.3%. That matters a great deal because the economy needs to expand by at least 5% every year if poverty and unemployment are both to fall. Instead, the number of people out of work has risen by 1.6 million since Mr. Zuma won the presidency in 2009. Unemployment, even at the narrowest definition, now stands at 26%. If you use a broad definition, that includes people who are too demoralized to look for work, the jobless total rises to 36%. South Africa is now verging on the status of economic basket case. Gross domestic product growth last year was around half of 1%. The country's currency, the rand, has been in free fall for the past year, and its bonds face an imminent downgrade to junk status. And that's what happens when you replace white people with black people. The economy fails and the civilization collapses. The power stations won't work there. You have to bring your own syringes and blankets if you go to hospital there. Universities just hand out degrees on whether they've been paid to hand out the degree or not. You don't actually have to do the actual studying. Nothing is maintained and the country is falling apart. So once again, what he said is entirely truthful, and yet you've got Speaker of the House Paul Ryan say, oh, I disagree with that statement. He doesn't actually bring out any facts to show why he disagrees with that statement. He disagrees with it purely and simply because emotionally he doesn't like what he's saying because it's not politically correct. And this really, looking through all of this, it really proves that that's what's going on here. They're saying it's not correct. It's a false statement just purely based on the fact that it's not a politically correct thing to say. That's all it is here, I think, Matt. And now, as you say, they've backed it up with this resolution. It's got legal weight behind it.
Well, in a sense, a resolution by definition is a statement of ideological consensus. Usually it has something to do with, you know, praising a certain athlete or something like that. this is a completely different use of the concept of a resolution. And now what's happening now is because of this, journalists, so-called, are making all kinds of stuff up. They claim he had a Confederate flag on his wall. There's no evidence of that. Why would he have a Confederate flag on his wall in Iowa? That doesn't make any sense. And he took it down after, some guy killed a state trooper. There's no evidence of that. The Weekly Standard said he said immigrants are dirt. And he said, oh, you know, why don't you release the audio there? And of course they refused. The press, however, said that they did release the audio, and he said, oh yeah, that's exactly what he said. No one can find the audio exactly. So this is par for the course. They're going to start making things up. And the other thing they're doing is they're making indirect associations. So because, he retweeted something, about how terrible mass immigration is, they're saying here that that's the identical statement of Mark Collett, who I don't know if you know him or not from England. Yeah. And because he said something similar to this, and is an admirer of Hitler, allegedly, therefore Steve King and Mark Collett are allies. So this is a kind of logic, but this is nothing new, but this is a kind of logic. And now that they have a congressional resolution, non-binding resolution, but a resolution behind them, they now figure that we have official sanction to begin doing this kind of thing. So this goes way beyond just a group of scared congressmen. This is, and the other thing I want to note is that everything that they say in this resolution comes from the press. CNN essentially wrote this resolution. These guys are writing this thing out, watching or reading news reports and copying it down verbatim. That's the other thing. So the press is writing this. Congressmen are just stenographers in this respect. So it's really just deep and intense corruption.
I think Greenblatt from the ADL, he had a hand in it as well. I can recall seeing a document that he sent in demanding this resolution. But I've got one final accusation made against him here. King also drew condemnation last year from the then chairman of the National Republican Congressional Committee, Representative Steve Stivers, after supporting a white nationalist candidate for Toronto mayor and telling an Austrian publication, "What does this diversity bring that we don't already have?" And he's obviously talking about Faith Goldie there. But what does diversity bring that we don't already have? I mean, I was trying to think of things that diversity brings that we didn't already have before it came here. And I thought an increase in violent crime, rape gangs, terrorism, mongrelization, female genital mutilation, animal torture, juju magic, corruption, Ebola. The list is endless of negative things that diversity has brought us. There's nothing that diversity has brought us that we don't already have, that we couldn't already do for ourselves, because 99.9% of everything in the world was invented by white people. All the diversity can ever do is make slight changes to that, make variations on a theme that was already invented by white people. I mean, just look at curry in Britain. They say, oh, well, curry was invented by the Indians, but curry over there is nothing like the curry that you have in Britain. Over the last 100 years, the British people have changed curry into what it is today, and the Indian takeaways in Britain make curry how Britain makes curry. They don't make it how they make it over in India. There's nothing that it brings that we don't already have. And apparently, just finishing off with this article here, President Trump has not criticized King's more recent remarks, and he told reporters on Monday that he hadn't been closely following the issue. So let's hope he continues to avoid the subject, or else actually backs the guy up. I was very pleased to hear there in that earlier quote, Matt, that other members of the Republican Party had actually been patting him on the back. So I do suspect that he does have support that's not actually being mentioned here in the mainstream media. Is there anything else you'd like to say about him? Encourage listeners to maybe write to him before we finish, Matt.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you want me to give you his, if I still have it, his address? It's hard, you know, contacting a congressman from out of state, is they usually ignore it because it really is not relevant. But if you live in, I think it's the 4th District of Iowa, you absolutely, need to contact him and encourage him. He's in the Rayburn building. I forget where exactly. It's easy enough to find. Oh, 2210, the Rayburn House office building, 20515. Please write the guy and say, especially if you live in Iowa, and that he's doing the right thing, and to take the Republican Party to court over the committee issue thing, because they're interfering in his reelection campaign in so doing. That's the minimum we can do.
Well, that's great. That's great. We should send support to anybody who speaks up for issues that that go alongside the issues that we're concerned about, even if they're not outright white nationalists. Okay, thank you very much for coming on today, Matt. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.